Good morning, everyone. I think you all deserve a medal braving the weather to come out to church this morning. And it's lovely to see you all, but a very special welcome to the Obinna family who are with us from Carluke. Elijah, Joy, Elspeth, such a good name, Finlay, Jesse, and Joshua, you're very welcome. As many of you know, it's a sort of holiday weekend for the school this week, so partly because of that and partly because the kitchen's being done, we haven't got Jigsaw on today, but Grace has very kindly arranged to organise something for the children, because we all know that I'm a bit boring. So it is so good to come together and worship God. I think all the intimations are on the back of the order of service, and do please make a note of them in your diary. I would like to highlight the pancake night, Tuesday the 25th of February. This is one of the highlights of our church year, where we get people from the whole community coming and having great fun, eating freshly made pancakes, buying them to take home, doing the family quiz and puzzles, and lots of good chat as well. So do please make a note of that. I won't be here this year because I'll be on my way to Zambia that day. Not that I'm excited or anything. Lent lunches at Brayhead House. Again, there's a poster at the back about that. Next Sunday, 2 weeks, the 23rd of February, Carstairs Parish Church are having Clyde Valley Praise. And again, there's a poster at the back. That's an evening service on Sunday the 23rd. So I would highly recommend that. It'll be a really good night of worship, and also you'll all get to have a look and see what Carstairs have done with their church. The pews are gone, they've got beautiful new seats. It's looking and smelling lovely. Any intimations I've forgotten? No, I rely on you to remind me because I usually get something wrong. We are here to worship God. God is love. We are all his beloved children, and we can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out fear. And he looks at every one of us and sees us as gorgeous. Our psalm for today is just two verses from Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Amen. And our opening worship is number 622 in the purple hymn books, and it will be on the screen. We sing a love that sets all people free. Hymn 622.
Thank you.
So I have another story for you. I have this wonderful book of 100 wisdom stories from around the world, and we love to hear them, don't we? Today's story is called The Fire Maker. Once upon a time, there lived a man who was able to make fire. The people of his village were amazed at this wondrous gift. The first time he ever made fire, they didn't rightly know what to think of it or what to do with it. In fact, if the truth were told, they were perhaps a little bit afraid of it. But then the fire maker taught them how they could use this gift to keep warm through the cold of winter and to make a warm, dancing light when the darkness wrapped its blanket around them every night. They could use it, he showed them, to cook their food and even to fire their pottery from which to eat their food. If ever they were alone and lost in the wilderness, they could use this gift to send up a cry for help, and their signal would be seen far away and rescue would come. Fire could be dangerous, however, and it could cause destruction. So the fire maker also taught them how to handle the fire reverently and with care, so that it should not cause hurt to themselves or to any part of creation. In no time at all, the news of the fire maker's gift spread from one village to the next, until everyone in the region had heard about this mysterious and powerful gift. The fire maker was in great demand. He traveled through the villages, teaching his skills to everyone who wanted to learn. And the people learned eagerly, and they began to revere the fire maker. Surely this man was special, and the gods were very close to him. In time, the popularity of the fire maker came to the attention of the village elders and rulers, and to the lord of that region. They didn't entirely like what they were hearing. Here was a man who appeared to be giving the people what they deeply desired, and what would give them fuller and happier lives. The people were turning away from their rulers and leaders to follow this upstart fire maker. The leaders and rulers were losing control. The fire maker's activities had to be curbed, they all agreed. And when that didn't seem to be possible, they had to resort to sterner measures. The fire maker must go, they resolved. And so one night, they trapped the fire maker in a dark corner, and they killed him. They told the people that from then on, it would be illegal to make fires. The people were dismayed, but most of them were too afraid to challenge the rulers. Instead, they grieved for the fire maker, whom they had all loved. They forgot most of what he had taught them, because they never practiced their skills again, but they never forgot him. The rulers and leaders conferred as to how to placate the people and take their minds off this dangerous man. They hit upon the idea of encouraging the people to build shrines to the memory of the fire maker. And so in every village, a monument was erected. The people decorated these shrines with flowers, beautiful paintings, and statues. They gathered together regularly there to remember the fire maker and all he had meant to them. They wrote down in books the instructions he had once given them about the fire, and they read extracts from these books every time they met together. The rulers were pleased because they had brought the fire under control. But the people got used to chilly, dark nights again, and they ate cold food, and they forgot how to dance and sing in the firelight. They remained faithful for as long as history lasted, in paying homage at the shrines of the fire maker. But there was no fire. I wonder what that story means to us all. Youngsters always have greater wisdom than we old folk do. So I wonder, Elspeth, Finlay, Jessie, any ideas? Were you listening to the story? Any ideas what it might mean for us? Nothing like putting you on the spot because you're here. If you haven't got anything to say, that's okay. Yeah. That's a super example. It's like when Jesus taught people how to pray. And sadly, a lot of people come to church and they really love the building, but they've forgotten how to pray. Well, they don't do it the same. Any other similarities to Jesus? That's okay. Come on then, old folk. Any ideas? You going to volunteer, Ian? Okay. Ian doesn't want to share his ideas. To me, it tells the story that if the fire maker were Jesus, and he was very similar, he came and he showed us how to have much, much better lives. He came to bring light and love and heat and warmth into our world. But people throughout the centuries have tried to control that, and it can't be controlled, because if you control it, it dies. But the wonderful thing about our faith is that when the leaders and authorities had killed Jesus, the fire maker, he didn't stay dead. He ascended. He rose again from the dead and then ascended into heaven. And when he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit, so that we have still got the fire of the Spirit in our hearts and in our church to keep us alive. And our faith is truly alive when we care for other people, as Jesus taught us, not just by worshiping him or a building. So let's have a word of prayer together. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for the wisdom we can learn from stories, that they clothe the truth in an acceptable clothing, so it is easier to see and hear the same message, but in a different form. Lord, we thank you that you did not stay dead, that you rose again, and that when you ascended into heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, to keep our faith alive. Lord, help us always to be open to your Spirit. And let us always remember to pray. So we now say the words that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 608, Spirit of Truth and Grace. 08, and then the youngsters will go down to the hall. And if they're not careful, they might get a job in the kitchen. just struck me that we're having a very Carluke day between Elijah and his family coming from Carluke, and the last hymn was written by Ian Cunningham, the minister of one of the other Carluke churches. As the youngsters head down to the hall, we will come before God in prayer once more. Yeah, you'll need your jackets on out there. Let us pray. Loving and amazing God, we bring the whole of us to worship you today, knowing that you created us and know our every thought. From you we cannot hide. In coming before you, we experience your complete freedom, as if we are flying on eagle's wings. We see differently. When we see how you look at us, we feel taller, we positively glow, we know that we are enough for you, and that you are more than enough for us. You have shown us the way, Lord. Give us the will, the courage, and the strength to follow in it, and to strive to live by the law, which requires of us that we not only never knowingly wrong another, but positively seek to do them good. Teach us to think ourselves into another's situation, to discover the joy of doing good by stealth, and of giving needed help where none might have been expected. And when we fail, and we do fail because we're human, Lord, help us always to turn to you in the sure and certain knowledge that you forgive us, that your spirit of life and power revives us in this hour and always, and stirs our hearts to praise with true devotion. Fill us with heavenly fire, Lord, and inspire our hearts that we may serve your world with your compassion. Amen. We now come to our Bible reading. Heather is reading for us today. The first reading, we're continuing the series on 1 Corinthians, and we reach the beginning of chapter 2 this morning. And then our gospel reading is Matthew 5, verses 13 to 20.
When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I come to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thought of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit to us from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. salt and light. You are salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it out on stands and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, and they may see the good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. There's a lot in both of our readings today. So rather than standing and singing again, I thought we would sit and listen to a meditative piece of music and allow your minds to find anything that has really stuck with you from those readings. See what God is saying to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Salt and light. So what does it mean for us to be salt and light? The first thing I think we have to note is that this is not something we need to aspire towards or work for, because Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Present tense. So simply by being in Jesus' presence and listening to his words, we are salt and light. So that leads me to another question. If we are salt and light, what does that mean for our behavior? Salt, as we know, adds flavor and enhances existing flavors, and it can also preserve food. Does it then mean that we are placed in the world to add flavor to life, to enhance what is already present, and to preserve, to keep from going off, from rotting, not just food, but our community and all our relationships? If that is what it is, it sounds like a huge responsibility. But it's not really, because all we have to do is stay close to God's word, Jesus, for he is the one who makes us salt. When I was first in Zambia, it's 13 years ago now, a group came from a church in Holland to lead a service of dedication of a kitchen in Butchie Church, where I was working. They had funded and overseen the building of the kitchen in the grounds beside the church. It had a dining area attached, and the plan was to use it to provide healthy, regular meals for all the widows, orphans, poor, and the many people with HIV in the area. The Dutch church, well, the minister had brought a transfer which they fixed to the wall in the dining area. It read, "You are the salt of the earth." And I think that really sums it up, because those people of Butchie Church were being salt by reaching out to their community in very practical ways. And of course, in this horrible weather, if we want to know what salt that has lost its saltiness looks like, just look at the pavements. All that horrible dirt that once the salt has dissolved and got washed away, and we're left with all the messy grit. We don't want to be like that in our community, do we? I've got a picture for light. Light is an even more emotive word than salt. For in English, light can mean an absence of darkness, but it can also mean a lack of excessive weight. And that can be physical weight or mental weight. We speak about feeling light. And I happened to see this quote. I thought that was lovely. You never forget a person who came to you with a torch in the dark. So since Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world, that means that our presence in the community can drive out darkness and ease the heavy burden some folk carry, as well as lifting their spirits. In yesterday's Lectio 365, which I'm following, we looked at John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's loving Jesus that comes first and then leads to our obeying. Loving Jesus is what keeps us close to him and listening to him. So it's loving Jesus that makes us salt and light. It's certainly not something we can do in our own strength. And it's so easy to fall in love with someone who is totally trustworthy, someone who we know already loves us far more than we love anyone else or ourselves. And I know I've shown it before, but I think this cartoon drawn by Steve Thomason explains this better than words. Our faith is much more the image on the right. It's not in our strength. It's a gift from God. So if we can now accept that we are salt and light, is there anything we should avoid? As I was thinking about this, it struck me quite forcibly that too much salt can be horrible. It can actually make you sick. And light, that torch in the darkness, is very welcome unless it's pointing straight into our eyes. Too much light can be dazzling. So that led me to think that we are called to be lightly sprinkled in our community, to be a gentle presence, but not too much, not to overpower people. I remember when I was a teenager, a very close school friend of mine moved away with her family down to England. We kept in touch with letters, and then one day her letter was just overflowing with news of how she'd met Jesus. She went on and on and on about it. And I was actually frightened by her intensity. And sadly, that resulted in me turning away from my faith for many years. She was being salt, but just too much. And light as well, like a torch, it can be very good if it's not pointed straight at us. When we are light for someone else, we need to make sure that the light shines ahead, showing the way to Jesus, and never shining in someone's eyes, dazzling them, nor highlighting their faults. As verse 16 told us, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So being salt and light is not to make us look or taste better. It's not to make other people feel or look worse. It's all to point to Jesus. And this really is what Paul spoke of to the church in Corinth when he said, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." A tiny little bit like Paul, and my words are certainly not full of wisdom. But I know and preach what God revealed to me and continues to reveal to me, that Jesus is God's love with flesh on. He is God's word, fulfilled, filled up to the brim and overflowing. The cross reveals the enormous depth of God's love for us. It reveals there are no lengths or depths or heights that he is not willing to go for us. And our purpose in life, our work, is simply to believe, to stay close, and so to become Christ to those around us, adding flavor to their lives and bringing light in their darkness, pointing the way so they too can choose to come to Jesus and also fall in love with him. We are salt and light, but let's make sure we're not too much. Amen. In response to that enormous love, let us continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. As we see on the prayers we have each received just now, God loves us more in a moment than anyone could in a lifetime. So, loving, living God, we thank you for your enormous love, for the gift of faith, for the knowledge that you make us salt and light to point the way to you and improve everyone's lives. So, Lord, we ask you now to receive these our offerings brought with grateful, humble hearts, and receive our worship and our everyday lives as well, and use them all for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. As well as us being the light, Christ is our light. Let's sing hymn 543.
Longing for light, we need darkness, knowing
And as we share more of the many gifts within our congregation, I invite Robert to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for the life you have given us, for its opportunities, for its challenges, for its memories, for its hopes, for the food and friendships that sustain us, for everything that stimulates mind, body, and spirit, for the time before us and the eternity beyond us. For all this, we give our grateful thanks. God, we are grateful for the faith you give us. Without you, we may be clever, but remain clueless. With you, we see ourselves and the world around us more clearly. With you, we have direction and destiny. With you, we have a champion and a friend in your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. God, we are grateful for the people you give us, people who help us, support us, challenge us. We give thanks for this church family which we belong to. And we also give thanks for all who serve the Lord throughout the world in any way. We give thanks for every good example, for all who have inspired us, and for Jesus, who leads us onwards to you. God, we pray for those who rule our nation in parliaments and councils. We pray for those who exercise power. May they preserve that which is good and put proper boundaries around what is bad. We pray for those who wield power and influence in public and business life, that they may use it with integrity for the good of all. And we pray for those who serve our communities in ordinary ways, that they may carry out your purposes in the ordinary things of life. We pray for our neighbours, our friends, and for those we do not like and have no time for. And we pray especially for those without food, without shelter, without safety. We pray for all who need healing and help. May we be salt and light to them in their time of trouble. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. And just before our closing worship, if any verses from our Bible readings did stick in your head, and there were many that I didn't touch on, do please stop at the end of the service, get yourself a cup of tea or coffee, and let's talk about it. It's always good to discuss what God is saying to us. But let's close our worship with my favourite tune, Highland Cathedral, and the wonderful words written by the late Leith Fisher. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star. Hymn 336.
Thank you.
And now, as we go out into the week ahead, may we know that we are salt and light to the world around us, and just make sure we're not too much. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain upon each and every one of us, especially Jean, now and forevermore. Amen.